Chapter 33. The Saturday immediately following Foggy's discovery that Stick was training Matt was a lonely one for him, partially because Matt went to Mass and confession afterwards, so the house was quieter than usual, and partially because he felt isolated in his concern for Matt. There was nobody he could tell about Stick or his worrying influence over Matt. He considered going to Theo or his mom and asking for advice in a general, roundabout way that wouldn't give away Matt's secrets, but he soon gave it up as a bad idea. His family would have questions. They always did, and Foggy couldn't tell them half-truths or lies, so he didn't tell them anything at all. A wind that rattled the windows and a cold that made his nose run put him in something of a mood, and he didn't get out of bed until lunchtime. He felt so weak and shivery when he got up that he thought it might have been the flu, rather than a cold. He wrapped himself in a soft orange blanket and made his way downstairs, deciding that he needed a cup of tea and a bowl of Rocky Road ice cream. He ached so much and felt so tired and out of sorts that he gave up on the cup of tea and settled on the sofa with the bowl of ice cream and his new textbook for company. His head throbbed, and he couldn't focus on a page for very long. So he soon set the book aside, sniffling slightly as he drew the blanket more closely around him. He blamed his cold on Stick. The stress of discovering that Matt had been training in secret with him had caused it, he decided. And now that he was sick and forced to rest at home, there was nothing to stop Matt from going to meet Stick. Nothing at all except his word that he wouldn't. It wasn't enough for Foggy. Every time Matt left the house now, he had to bite his tongue to keep himself from interrogating his boyfriend about where he was going and with whom. He knew Matt well enough to realize that if he did that, he was going to lose him. Matt would distance himself if he expressed any kind of doubt or mistrust, and that would be it. He needed to trust Matt. If they didn't have trust, they didn't have anything. Matt was so distant at the moment that Foggy knew their whole relationship was balancing on a knife's edge. All Matt needed was a reason, and that was the problem. He didn't understand Matt's reasons. He didn't know why he wanted to be around Stick at all. He did know that Matt wouldn't have told him if he hadn't caught him with Stick in the gym. That terrified Foggy more than anything Matt could do. More than Fight Club or getting back together with Elektra or even breaking up with him. Stick could ruin Matt. He could get his hooks so deep in him that Matt wouldn't realize what was happening until it was too late. And if he did realize, he'd tell himself that he needed Stick or that nobody else understood him. He was right about that. Foggy didn't understand Matt's deeper reasoning. He didn't fully understand blindness or super senses or any of that stuff. He understood that Matt needed to be protected because while he could hear a car coming in time to save Foggy from being flattened, he somehow couldn't pick up on the fact that Stick was much more than an asshole or some blind weirdo with an obscure belief system. He was a threat to Matt, to his physical, mental, and emotional health, and Foggy was the only one who knew enough to intervene. He set his bowl on the coffee table, the ice cream having melted while he sat there worrying about Matt. Almost as if he could be summoned by merely thinking about him, the front door opened and Matt's soft footsteps and the even softer tap of the cane echoed through the entryway. Foggy didn't have to wait for long. Matt soon entered the living room, dressed in his Sunday best and bearing a container of clam chowder that Foggy recognized by the mere smell of briny richness. Matt had been to see his mom after church. That was interesting. "How are you feeling?" Matt asked, setting the container of clam chowder on the coffee table. "I'm fine. I'm just stuffed up and frustrated. Congested, you know?" Foggy added, with only a slight sniffle. "I know," Matt said, with a sympathetic sigh. He grimaced when Foggy reached for the box of Kleenex and blew his nose. Judging from the look on Matt's face, he had to guess that wasn't a pleasant sound for super ears like his. Uncomfortable with the knowledge that he probably sounded like crap and smelled even worse, not having showered yet today, Foggy subtly shifted away from Matt, reaching for his textbook to disguise the movement. "You don't have to look after me," he mumbled as he idly turned the pages, not reading a single word. "Yeah, I do," Matt insisted, his tone laden with guilt. Besides, if I wasn't here, you'd be worrying about me and... I trust you, Matt, Foggy said, not looking up from his book. No, you don't, Matt replied quite calmly, his tone lacking any heat or accusation. Not yet. Not after Stick. I don't blame you. Foggy paused in his pretend reading, a lump rising in his throat that had nothing to do with his cold and everything to do with the look on Matt's face. He bit his lip and sighed to himself, wondering what his mother and Matt had talked about, but not daring to ask. If Matt wanted to tell him, he would. Did you get all of that from my heartbeat? He asked, carefully turning a single page. No, I just know you, Matt said quietly. I wish I could say the same, Foggy muttered bitterly, the stinging words falling from his lips before he could stop them. There was a moment during which all Foggy could hear was his own heartbeat and Matt's soft sigh. He didn't know what the worst part was, that he'd said it or that Matt didn't even look surprised. He shut his textbook, tempted for a moment to beat his head against it. I deserve that, Matt said, after what felt like a 500-year-long pause. No, you don't. I'm sorry, Foggy immediately apologized. I'm just frustrated that I can't make any headway with the readings for next semester. I'm going to be behind before we even start. No, you won't, Matt promised, gently patting his knee, a gesture that was so adorable that Foggy's bitter mistrust melted away on the spot. Where are you up to? Page 55, Foggy answered with a sigh. Privatization of private and international law. He set the textbook on the coffee table, prepared to give up and try again tomorrow. Besides, he preferred this to studying, Matt's hand still resting against his knee, a muted gesture of comfort and deep affection that Foggy sorely needed after what had gone down with Stick. Let me get my tablet, Matt murmured, moving away from him and retrieving the device from where it sat charging in the corner of the room. You don't have the book in Braille? Foggy asked, as Matt opened an ebook of the assigned textbook, his screen reader already beginning to read the sentences that Foggy had been fretting over. Braille is too expensive, Matt informed him, offering Foggy a spare set of gray earbuds. Do you prefer it in Braille? Foggy asked, looking up at Matt. He hadn't asked him something like that in a while, not since before the fight about moving Matt's cane. He'd been afraid to ask him vision-related questions when he'd first met him, but he wasn't now. He wasn't as afraid of offending Matt, just more afraid of losing him to Stick than he was prepared to admit. I absorb more information when I read Braille because it takes effort and concentration to take it in, Matt explained so patiently that Foggy smiled. With audio, I can just zone out, which isn't always helpful. Yeah, I get that. Matt? Thanks, Foggy mumbled gratefully as he slipped an earbud in. Anything for you, Fog, Matt replied warmly. Foggy blushed and ducked his head, deciding to pretend he hadn't heard him, or that Matt's words didn't affect him, whichever was more plausible. But then Matt came and sat beside him, kicking off his dark brown Oxfords and snuggling close, closer than he had in days. Are you sure you don't want to sit over there? Foggy asked self-consciously. I might get you sick. I'll risk it, Matt declared, setting his glasses on the coffee table and then resting his head on Foggy's shoulder. He smiled and seized a second blanket that hung over the back of the sofa, draping it over Matt's lap and tucking it around him. Matt didn't say anything. He just smiled and stayed exactly as he was, snuggled so close to Foggy that he could feel the whisper of his breath against his cheek. Matt, Foggy murmured as his boyfriend took his hand. Shh, I'm trying to listen, Matt said teasingly. Listen then, Foggy pleaded, glancing at the man using him as a human pillow. I am, Matt replied, not opening his eyes. I hear you, Foggy. This is where I want to be. I promise. Foggy didn't say anything in response to that. He just squeezed Matt's hand and sighed with relief. He didn't want to talk about Stick again, refusing to let that man take anything else from him or Matt. He turned the volume on Matt's tablet up instead and curled against his boyfriend. He just hoped that they were going to be okay, that Stick would let them be okay. He had a feeling that Matt wasn't going to be allowed to just walk away, and that was a worrying thought, though not one that he wanted to think about right now. End chapter 33.